You know, 2026, prophetically, for a lot of Christians, for a lot of people in the Christian world, believe that 2026 is going to be a year of healing and restoration, a year for spiritual warfare, which we have been talking about, a year for personal spiritual growth, and a year to learn how to better be an active participant in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So last month, our theme was warfare. This year, our theme in 2026 in February is real love. Because we know in 2 weeks, well, 13 days, it's Valentine's Day, and we get to celebrate real love on Valentine's Day, which all of us celebrate every day because God loves us so much. But if you were to define what real love is, it's an active, unconditional, it's a commitment, it's a deep affection, it's trust, it's sacrifice, it's support, it's choosing someone's needs over our own. It's choosing another person over our own selfish desires. To be patient, to be there every day, whether it's difficult or not. You know, 87% of Americans believe that true love exists. 67% of Americans say they've experienced it. 73% say they let true love get away. Sometimes we as people, for some reason, we stop cherishing and we stop appreciating. Sometimes we allow fear, insecurity, fear of being real gets in the way. 45% of marriages end in divorce, which, believe it or not, is actually down a little bit. 45% of marriages end in divorce, which is down a little bit. Over the age of 50, that percentage doubles. And over the age of 65, the number of divorces is tripled. Over 50, the percentage doubles. Over 65, it's tripled. We know that second marriages don't go so well. 60% of them end in divorce. Third marriages gets even higher. 73% of them end in divorce. 50% of Americans today, you know what they say? They're having a hard time finding a serious relationship. Standards today are much higher than what they used to be, making it harder for a lot of people to find or to stay with someone. 50% people deal with the fear of loss, which we know what we don't understand, that fear of loss influences our behavior, our attitude. It leads many to be insecure, to have anxiety, and the need to control. Love, it's compared to just being hungry, thirsty, and it drives human nature every single day. Love, or what many think is love, you know, it causes chemical reactions. For some, it turns that chemical reaction into addiction, constantly to be around this one thing that they love. Love, or what many think is love, you know, it reduces activity in the front part of our brain, which causes us sometimes to not think straight and make poor decisions. Many make impulsive, quick decisions. 24% of the people around the world feel lonely. 50% of Americans feel lonely. 30% say they experience loneliness weekly. And 10% of Americans say they experience loneliness daily. The crazy thing is, 79% of the younger generation report high levels of being lonely, more so than adults. Love. What many think love is, causing so many different percentages, high and low. Feelings of being on top of the world, but also at the bottom. Many, because of Google, think that they're experts. Just like any one of us, we become an expert with Google. We can learn anything. I can do anything. Google is my best friend. Many, when they're trying to figure out how to make it better, they go to Google like anything else. What does love look like on Google? Many today also think it's okay to redefine love, the concept of love. 30% of people today change their view of what relationships look like because they're unhappy. With so many experts, therapists, coaches out there, friends, with so many books, the number one theme in books being written and articles that are being written, the number one thing is love. Over 100 million love songs, over millions of movies that are love and romance based on love. With such a high percentage of so many things that we see, hear, and do, written, sung about love, why is there so much high percentages on divorce, hate, bitterness, and loneliness? I wonder, there's so many experts, so many things we look up. How to make love, marriage, life better. Why does it seem like so many people fail at it? Why do so many people think they have it figured out, but it doesn't end exactly the way that they want? So many people today are trying to find love, keep love, sustain love. And here's the problem. To find love, to keep love, to sustain love, the problem is it's many are doing it from their own point of view and not from a correct point of view. There's only one real source for what real love is. Only one real source for what love is. And it needs to be the driving source from life from which we live. And if we allow this real love, and if we allow the true source of love to become our driving force, then every one of us becomes a spring of life for people to enjoy every single day. Real love. Crazy thing, you know, as we finished warfare last month, and to think about love, you know, love is warfare, because as God's word is the source of life, the source of love, also how many of us know the devil's message is it's okay to hate, it's okay to be bitter, it's okay to be jealous, it's okay to be insecure, it's okay to be afraid. There's so many things at war. The important thing about love is to understand, Jesus said love is the one thing, it is the one thing that shows the world who you belong to. It's the one thing that shows the world who you belong to. Our first text is Luke 15, verse 1. It says, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people. He even eats with them. So Jesus told them the story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends, his neighbors, saying, rejoice, because I have found my lost sheep. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she's going to call her friends and neighbors and say, rejoice with me, because I have found my lost coin. Jesus shares two stories. He actually goes on to share the prodigal son after this, which we're not going to get into today. But there's two things interesting I love about these two parables and stories that Jesus shared. Number one, he says, listen, many religious people, many sinners, he called them notorious sinners, both came to listen to Jesus, the source of life. And so remember this morning, our theme for the month is real love, but today the topic is the source. And so the source is vitally important. Religious people listen to Jesus. It says eagerly they listen to Jesus, but most of the religious people never changed. They already thought they knew the truth, but they were never willing to see the truth, even though he was right there in front of them. Religious people sometimes, and even in the Christian churches where we get stuck, we think we read it, we heard it when we were young, when we were little. We, you know, our parents taught us, Sunday school taught us, you know, Daniel in the lion's den, David and Goliath, as a little kid, we thought we heard it, we knew it, we learned it. Sometimes the previous knowledge we have from the past stops us from seeing the truth in the moment. And the religious people in this day, they were unwilling to see the truth. that was Jesus, that was right in front of them because of the knowledge, the pride that they had. And so they listened to Jesus. It says they listened to him, but nothing changed. Nothing changed. And how many of us have we ever listened to someone, but we're really not actively listening? All the time. How many conversations? If we rewind this week, the past 6 days, 7 days, we can actively remember talking to someone as they're talking. We're not listening. Our head is somewhere else. We're on the moon. They're on Earth, right? We're nowhere near. And so how many people, like the religious, they said they were listening, but nothing ever changed. They were with the source of life, and they were unwilling to see the moment. So Jesus shares these two stories. And I love the first one. It says, you know, man has 100 sheep. He loses one, and he wanders away. So this morning, I want to think about these two stories related to love, because it is the month of love. Even though every day we know that God loves us, we know every day God cares for us, we know every day all that God expects, everything that's wrapped up in love. But most of the time, we spend the most money on February 14th or the week of to show and appreciate our love. These two stories talk about two people, one who loses a sheep, someone who loses some money. So you think about possessions, you think about money. They lose something that they were holding on to, something that they held close to them. For the shepherds, obviously, it was their job to care, to watch, to feed, to lead, to guide, to care for their possession or someone else's possession, to hold on. And so as we think about that compared to love, and I'm not just talking about love like in marriage, but love in life. Many of us, it is absolute truth and fact, we love what we value. We love what we treasure. And most of us, what we value, what we treasure, we try to hold on to it so tight. And sometimes people, in trying to hold on what they value and treasure and hold so tight, they don't realize that they're squeezing it to death. Some of us, sometimes we don't realize that what we value, what we love, what we treasure, sometimes we squeeze it to death, to have it, to hold it, afraid to lose it. Many people, if you look at the story, describes a shepherd and a woman who lost something, but it describes a sheep that wanders away. And how many of us have ever wandered away, like the sheep, wandered away from the shepherd, wandered away from the other sheep, wandering away from my source of truth, life, love? How many of us know people, or even ourselves, who've wandered from a place where we need to be? So you have a description of someone holding, caring, but you also have a description of a wandering. And many people today, in love, in life, it's kind of one or the other. We're either trying to have to hold, or we're in a wandering phase of life, just wandering around, not really sure what we think or feel. Today is crazy with so many things happening every day. We turn it on, you know, people being killed, people being shot, wars all over the world. There's so much junk that is happening. And I wonder how many of us, has it caused our heads to spin a little bit, to make our minds and our thoughts go crazy? Because there's so much stuff happening. And so we ask ourselves, number one, what are the things that I hold and value the most in my life? What are the things that I treasure and hold? And am I holding them, and am I treasuring them to a point where I trust God with them? Or am I squeezing the things that I hold so dear because I'm afraid to lose them? Secondly, do we ask ourselves from this text, am I in a season of life where, like the sheep or like the coin that gets lost, am I lost somewhere? Am I wandering somewhere that I've walked away from the place where I need to be? Could be sin, could be, you know, just distracted, could be fear, could be jealousy. Sometimes those things lead us to walk away from the places where we need to be. And then sometimes what we don't realize, thirdly, is if we're in that wandering, sometimes we don't see that it causes a blinding effect. Sometimes people get stuck in a mode of what's real, what's important, what's correct. If love is such a big, massive driving force to our world today, if a real love factor, and it's not just, again, real love described with a man and a woman, real love is a thing that the world, it has been driving force from the beginning of time. Love, to look for it, to want it, to search for it. In these two parables that Jesus shared, obviously the greatest story and the greatest picture he's painting is no matter where you wander, Jesus will hunt you down. God will hunt you down, and God will always come after us because it's a reckless kind of love that comes after us every single day. Our next text is Luke chapter 10:25. One day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question, "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "Well, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told him, "do this and you will live." The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" So Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho. He was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes. They beat him up. They left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed the other side of the road and passed him by. Temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there. He also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along. When he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil, wine, bandaged them. He put the man on his own donkey, took him to the inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you back the next time I'm here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." There was a question that was being asked. What is the most important commandment? And so they go through and describe that the most important commandment is to love God with everything that is within us. It is the second part that's tricky for us because it said to love people, love your neighbor as you love yourself. How many of us have ever heard someone describe in their words, in their verbiage, in their actions, their disgust, their bitterness with another human being? And then they go to say, "Well, I still love them." How many of us have heard conversations? How many of us have seen movies, which are fake anyway, but how many of us have seen and heard conversations of people talking to each other, talking about each other, and they're disgusted with this, and they are bothered by this? Oh, but I still love them. Jesus said, and he points out, the 2 most important descriptions of love. The goal is to what? Love God with everything we have. Secondly, it's to love every person on the planet like we love ourselves. So the question would become, well, one, if we always talk negative about certain people, either we do that about ourselves as well, we talk negative about ourselves, or we're talking about our neighbor in a negative manner because we really haven't found love, real love, or true love yet, and know how to describe that. And so because we don't know, because we haven't experienced, we don't know how to show that and to be that. Or if I said, like, we are negative and we're rude, maybe it's how we talk about ourselves. Jesus said, love God with everything you have within you and to love people, all people, like you love yourself. And how does he describe this kind of love? Well, he goes through the story, and we're looking at it through the lens of love this morning. So he says there was a man on a journey. So let's say we're all on a journey, just like this man was, this man who gets robbed here. All of us in life are on a journey through life. From the day we're born, to grow up, to live, to experience life, and then one day die. This journey, just like the man being described in the story, he went on a journey. Some people on our journey find love. Some people experience love, and some don't. Some learn to live by love. Some learn to live by hate, unfortunately, on their journey. Some people learn to live by bitterness and anger. And some people learn to live by what's real. And the first person that Jesus describes says, listen, this man was on a journey. And as he's on his journey, he's minding his own business. How many of us this morning have ever lived life like we're minding our own business? And all of a sudden, like this man, he gets attacked. Says he was attacked, his clothes were taken off, everything that he had was stripped away, beating him up, and then they left him half dead. Have we ever experienced in the journey of life feeling like, man, someone's just out there to beat me up? And that word that you just said to me really hit me hard. Some people's version of love, see, it's not really love, it comes from a place of anger. What do they say? Hurt people? Hurt other people. So for again, we're looking at this story through the lens of love. Through all relationships, marriages, and friendships, and strangers, and community, and work, and school, we choose two ways to love, and that's God's way or the world's way. The world's way is kind of like what happened to this man in this story. If we don't love like God, we end up hurting other people. If we don't love like God loves, we're going to end up hurting other people. This man, minding his own business, doing his thing, gets what? Beat up, loses his clothes, stripped of every single thing he has. And for whatever reason, our minds are so amazing. The way our subconscious thinks is there are things and actions and words that we say that in the minute and in the moment, some of us don't realize that we're saying it, but it is stemmed from our subconscious. Things that bother us, things that hurt us, things that have happened in the past. Sometimes we allow the things in our subconscious to come out, and we don't realize that in that minute, we are hurting the person in front of us. Describes the second man as a man who's a priest who walks by, sees a man at the lowest part of his life, probably at the darkest part of his life because he's beat up, his clothes were taken off, he's got nothing. So life was stripped from this man. And it says, here comes a person who sees someone at their lowest, someone at their darkest point of life, a person who's vulnerable, he's hurt, he's half dead. And what did the person do? Continue to walk by. If we know God's love and the fullness of his love, but yet we continue to walk by people who are really half dead, broken, lost, then we're just like the people in the story. If we say, I love everyone with all my heart, I do. I love you. We love you. We all love each other. But yet we continue to walk by people who are broken, lost, and hurt. Jesus said, better check your love again. I don't know if you've experienced or know what real love is. So many of us, unfortunately, what we tend to do is sometimes we pretend to not see people. We pretend to not see people who are truly in need, who truly need a friend, who truly could use a brother, who could truly use a sister. Many of us, we ignore, we keep on walking. It's too much work, takes too much time. If I try to help this person, this is a good excuse for us, it wouldn't help anyway. You know, Jonah, there was a prophet in the Bible who God says, I want you to go and preach to this place, one of the darkest, grotesque people group in the world. He didn't want to go. So what did he do? He ran and hid from God. They don't deserve my help. What if I go and these people repent? I don't want to go talk to those sinners because they might turn to God. And I'm not going to be happy if they turn to God. Here's a prophet of God who did not want to do God's work. He didn't want to see people's lives change. And because of his sin and rebellion, what happened to the poor man? He gets stuck in a well, right? 3 days. 3 days stuck in a well. Whale spits him out. He goes. He preaches to Nineveh. He preaches, repent, turn from your sins, turn to God. The people, they took it seriously because he says God's judgment is coming. They took it serious and they repented. They turned their hearts to God. And then the prophet, what did he do? He got upset. The Good Samaritan story that Jesus shared, it's exact same way. There are people that we pass by on a daily basis. Jesus said the greatest reflection of love is how you treat other people. The Good Samaritan story, how many of us pass by other people? From the outside, maybe they look okay. From the outside, everything looks fine. We ask them if they're okay and they say, yeah, sure, I'm great. But we don't want to take the time to investigate and say, hey, are you good? We don't take the time to say, hey, man, are you right with God? We don't take the time to say, are you struggling with anything I can pray for? Some of us do. Some of us don't. And some of us do at certain times when we have the time and feel like we got the time to invest in some people. But the big question is, how many of us do we find ourselves more ignoring the people who need us most? Or are we being there for the people who need us most? So the person walks by, second person walked by just like the first one, did the exact same thing, sees a man half dead, lying there. What do I do? I'm too busy. I got a deadline to meet. Too busy. I got to make that $100 today that I got to make. I'm too busy. I'm too busy. I'm too busy. I'm too busy to care for another person. I'm just too busy. Or honestly, some of us would be honest and say, you know what? I just don't care. You know, it's crazy how many homeless people in town are looking, and we could talk, you know, round and round and round about helping and giving. But I look at this story, the Good Samaritan, and really, obviously, for many of us, we could picture homeless people because a lot of them are half dead in the streets in the town that we live in. Everywhere we go. And they've made bad decisions? Sure. But how many of us in here have ever made a bad decision and wanted God to forgive you of that bad decision? There are people in our life that God has put for a reason, and they're making, maybe they made a bad decision, and maybe they continue to make a bad decision. Does that mean we ignore them? Does that mean we walk away from them or hide from them? No. God's called us to be light. The third person that Jesus describes in the story is we picture love. The first thing that this person does in love, the first thing this person does out of love, he takes two things, wine and olive oil. Wine is a disinfectant to heal, to disinfect the wounds. Second thing is olive oil to soothe the matter. Jesus described in John chapter 1, there was two things Jesus was full of, truth and grace. This story, the Good Samaritan, there's two things that happened to the person that's half dead. He was given truth and grace. He was given a disinfectant. The truth, sometimes it feels good, but other times the truth corrects, it rebukes, it disciplines. We all need the truth of God's word every single day because it keeps us on the right path. But then we also need the olive oil. We also need the grace. There's moments that any one of us can slip at any point in time in life. We need the grace of God to pick us back up. And so this third person in the story described as someone who he shouldn't have been the guy. He shouldn't have been the one to help. He should have been the one to walk and ignore because Jews and Samaritans hated each other. But he was the one to show love. Healing in life only happens from a Jesus perspective. Truth is Jesus. Grace is Jesus. Love is Jesus. Only Jesus and the work of the cross can set a heart free. Only the work on the cross and what God gave can heal a heart and make it whole. Do we this morning care enough to give enough the truth and grace to put people, to take people? The guy in the story, he took the man, put him on his donkey, and then what? He took him to an inn. Paid for him to stay there. Paid for someone to take care of them. And so Jesus described, how do you love? How do you show love? Obviously, it's not by ignoring someone. It's not by telling yourself, listen, I'm going to pass by tomorrow if that person's still half dead on the road. I'll get it tomorrow. Procrastinating. Jesus said, how do you show love? You give them the truth. You give them the grace. You take them to somewhere safe. Maybe you make a sacrifice for someone to help them, to take care of them, to cover them. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love. We all say we love. But let's ask ourselves in the month of love, do I honestly, truly, really love? Do I really love like everyone else? He says, listen, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. I love that, how he said this. Because what? How many of us have spent our life, moments, and seasons pretending to love someone, pretending to love something? How many of us have ever experienced love to a point when you love someone, you love everything about them? When we love God, we love everything about God. God, His Word, church, worship, prayer. When we love God, when we're in love with God, then we love every single thing about God. When we love God, it's then when we love God. We're not just pretending to love people. It comes naturally. Don't pretend to love other people. Truly, truly love them. Our last scripture today, John chapter 1, starting in verse, chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives. Early the next morning, he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered. He sat down and he taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought out a woman who'd been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? They were trying to trap him and to say something they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and said, all right. But let the one who's never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again, wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Jesus stood up again and he said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. That's the grace, but go sin no more. And he tells her the truth. You need to knock it off. This morning, as we start to wrap and pull everything together, we use the light for communion, but we're also using it for the end of our text today. Love and the source of love is learning to keep the light on, because it is the only way that we can express and give and receive is when we're connected to the source of life. I must, number one, have the goal to remain connected to the source of life and love. It is my only way. It is the only way that I can get to the point in life where I need to be. It's by staying connected. It is the source of love. It is the source of life. It is staying connected to God. It's the only way to remind myself daily, to remind ourselves daily, if I truly want to understand what love is. How many of us have a favorite love song? How many of us have a favorite love movie? But if we watch that movie 100 times, has it made us any better at a person who loves? If we've watched, if we've listened to our favorite love song 1,000 times in our life, did that honestly ever make us better at being someone who loves, gives, shows, sacrifices? Did it make us better? How many books have we read on love? How many things have we Googled and researched on love and how to treat people? Did it make us better? Why? Because many of the things that we've done on our own, we weren't truly connected. Jesus said the world will know who you belong to by your love. The greatest thing in life, on Communion Sunday, Jesus came to give his life as a sin offering to God, because it's 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us so that we could be righteous before God. The greatest description of love. Obviously, Communion Sunday, it's a great day to talk about it because Jesus gave his life. He left home, which was heaven. He came to this earth. He went on a journey to this earth filled with dust, filled with darkness, filled with hate, filled with bitterness, filled with jealousy, filled with insecurity. People, some liked him, some hated him. People complained about him all the time. They didn't like what he wore. They didn't like how he talked. They didn't like he was powerful. They didn't like the people that he hung around with. People constantly talked about this guy. All the things that Jesus went through, so he was willing to leave heaven. He was willing to come to earth, to leave a place of comfort, to go to a place that was a little more uncomfortable, to live every day when he was ministering, to be ridiculed, to be made fun of, to be stabbed in the back, to be treated like he was nothing. All the things that he did, why did he do that? Because he loved us. God loved us. And that's why he gave so much, because he loved us. He gave so much that he gave the ultimate sacrifice, which was what? Death on the cross. Completely. Jesus said, how do I show love, the greatest love? It's how you lay yourself down. But none of us in here, we can't lay ourselves down and be unselfish if we're not connected to the light, if we're not fully connected to the cross, if we're not fully connected to heaven, if we're not fully connected to God's word, if we're not fully connected in every aspect of this spiritual walk with the light, Jesus, with the word, which is Jesus, the Holy Spirit, who we can't see, who's the greatest helper, the Holy Spirit. And if you think about the light, you think about the Trinity, we know God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. This whole lamp as a whole is God. The light, Jesus, that we see, it's the reflection of God himself. And the electrical power cord is the Holy Spirit, is the source and power for us to know God, to live for God, and to be who God has made us to be. But without this, it just makes us unconnected. And if love, this month, there are people who are going to buy chocolate, they're going to buy roses, they're going to go out to dinner, some friends are going to give cards to one another, some people are going to go away for the weekend. Everyone is going to express love to a man or a woman, or family, or kids, maybe if they're lucky. Somehow in this month, for whatever reason, we've chosen this to be the month or a day of love. But no matter how much we talk about it, there's still a lot of divorces, still a lot of unhappy marriages, there's still a lot of broken friendships. There's still a lot of people who had friends 5 years ago who they're not talking to today. We pulled up this story because I wanted to read this story through the eyes and lens of love before we wrap up and close. people found someone who made a mistake. She committed adultery. Now, the Old Testament says you can take some rocks. These little ones really wouldn't probably do the trick. They probably had to find some bigger ones. But in the Old Testament, if you found someone caught in the act of adultery, you can kill them. Take some rocks, take them outside the camp, and hurl large rocks at them until they die. And so these guys bring out a woman who's caught in the act of adultery to the guy they gave the pass, which we're not even going to go there, okay? They decided to single her out. She was going to be the focal point. She was going to be the one made to look like she was nothing, like she was trash, something you can just throw away. And here she is before God. Here she is, probably weeping, probably scared to death before God, before these men. Jesus, being calm, being patient, he gets down on the ground, starts to write in the dust. The religious people, the people who should know the truth, but they lost sight of the truth. At rocks, they're ready. They're ready, let's kill somebody. This story is probably one of the greatest descriptions, like the Good Samaritan. Does my life reflect love, or does my life reflect the religious? Am I more judgmental? Are rocks in my hands? Or am I like Jesus? I'm down on the ground. I'm where the hurt person is. I'm where the needy person is. And I'm there to help. Jesus, in this situation, he's writing something on the ground. We don't know if he's writing the Ten Commandments. We don't know if he drew a heart and said, God loves you. We don't know what he was writing on the ground. But there was men surrounding and ready to kill someone because they made a mistake. And many of us in here this morning, what we don't realize, many of us along the way, we've done and acted the same way. We're ready to hurt someone because they made a mistake. And sometimes in hurting that person, we know that two wrongs don't make a right, but we still do it anyway. Sometimes in life, for whatever reason, we side with the religious. I've got my rocks in hand. I see someone who made a mistake. When we see a homeless person, do we talk about them through the eyes and lens of love? Or do we talk about them with rocks in our hands? Well, they should have never taken that. They never should have quit their job. When we see someone in need who's broken and desperate, do we pick up rocks? Or do we see and speak as one and act in love? If the greatest thing that God has put us on this earth to do, the greatest thing that God's put us here to do is what? Is to love. The greatest. It is the greatest. Number one thing. How do I make a difference? How do I find my purpose? How do I feel satisfied with life? You connect to the giver of life and you stay connected. And I go out and do his work. Jesus on the ground in the dirt, willing to be dirty, willing to get a little muddy. He gets on the ground. And there's two things that he says to this person. Where are the accusers? Why? Because you know what he did? He said to the man, fine, go ahead and kill her. But if you've ever sinned, then you don't have a right to throw your rock. If you've ever sinned in your life, you've ever made a mistake, you don't have the right to throw a rock. And so as we wrap up this morning, our theme for this month, and I'm so excited and so pumped, is real love. And it's asking of ourselves, and it's making the goal of me, of us, I have to live by real love. I need to get better at showing and giving and sacrificing real love. If I'm called to believe and called to follow in Jesus' footsteps, what did he do when he was here? He spoke the truth in love, and he gave grace to the people who needed it the most. Jesus wasn't afraid of those who were on the ground. Jesus wasn't afraid of the dirty. He wasn't afraid of the poor and the needy. He wasn't afraid of the broken and the lost. He wasn't afraid of those who had leprosy. He wasn't afraid of those who were handicapped. He wasn't afraid of anyone. But what he did was he took the time for everyone. He took the time for everyone. We can't keep walking by. We can't keep procrastinating with the good news. 2026, remember, there's so many things that it means, but one of them is learning to be a better participant in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And so as we close this morning, get ready to pray. We know that one thing God is asking of us, not just because it's going to be Valentine's Day in 13 days, is to be a man, a woman who shows real love. Let's pray. And with eyes closed and heads bowed this morning, you know, it's important as you hear truth, as you hear the Word of God, as we read stories, as we talk about it, to ask ourselves, is there any part of this, maybe in love, that I'm not keeping it real? God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Forgive me the days I've taken rocks and I'm ready to throw them because somebody made a mistake. You know, how many of us have ever seen a Christian brother or a sister make a mistake and we pick up the rocks and we're so ready to go and tell somebody else, you know what I saw that brother doing? You know what I saw that sister doing? And so we have the rocks in our hands. We're so ready. Man, we're so ready. It's like when you see a fight in school. Everyone runs now and they get their phones. They're so ready for the moment. Many of us in here, we still live life the same way. We're so ready with our rocks. Man, as soon as a brother or sister slip up, we grab that rock and then we go and we got to tell somebody else. Well, you know what that brother or sister did? Ooh-wee. You know what I saw him doing? Ooh, man. How many of us are guilty of holding the rock and throwing the rock because sometimes we fail to see our own sin and we think we have the right to throw the rock anyway? Jesus said, if we judge, you're going to be judged too. If you don't forgive, you're not going to be forgiven. And so today on Communion Sunday, I think it's a great day to say, God, if I'm judgmental to anyone in any part of my life, God, help me to stop. Help me to stop being so judgmental. If I've been unforgiving to people when they hurt, God, help me. Help me to say and pretend that I love people. Because if we're honest, all of us in here, there are people in our life that we've all said at some point, love you, we love you. People we've seen on the street, you know, we're driving in the car and we're talking about the person we just passed. Oh yeah, we love those people. And if that's any of us here this morning, say, God, forgive me for being someone who's been pretending. God, forgive me if I pretended to love and I'm not really loving. I'm not really giving. I'm not really serving. I'm not really sacrificing. God, forgive me. So with our eyes closed and heads bowed, if it's you, just say, God, forgive me. Because love is supposed to be the only way. Love is supposed to be the only thing. And so, God, if I fail, God, forgive me.